Let us go back. We're going down south to Arizona in that neighborhood. And Steve Gilbert joins us. He covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. And Steve, I love checking in with you guys every few weeks. Now the Diamondbacks are on a roll, and it looks like they're going to sort of secure that position here in the playoffs. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Marty. How are you today?
Well, we're doing well, and honestly, trying to follow what's going on. And the Diamondbacks took care of the Giants rather handily.
Yep.
Then knocked the Dodgers around, and now they're in Colorado trying to put the Rockies away. When does it stop?
Yeah, that's a great question, Marty. It looked like just about 10, 11 days ago, they were in trouble. They got swept in Minnesota. We're not looking very good. Teams were creeping up on them in the wild card race. You know, Miami had been hot, and they were up there. St. Louis had played well, and they were climbing up near them. And then they went to New York, and they won 3 out of 4 against the Mets and came home and swept the Giants, and then surprisingly swept the Dodgers. So I didn't win again last night. So this has been a big stretch for them, and they've really opened up a 4.5 game lead over the Rockies, and even a bigger one over the teams chasing the Rockies. So it certainly looks like right now they're in a really, really good position when it comes to the postseason.
Well, hey, Steve Gilbert with us. He covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. Pitching. And if Greinke all of a sudden, and I read the stories, throwing himself into the Cy Young race.
Wow.
Corbin, who we did see against the Giants, as good as ever. Godley, that's the guy I like. I think he's the swing man in a playoff. But, boy, they can pitch. And now sizing it up against the Dodgers, how do you feel if those two match up?
Well, you know, I think the Dodgers right now are going through their first lull of the season, and it's pretty hard to believe that after 5 months, just now getting to their first lull of the season, that tells you how good they really are. And keep in mind the Diamondbacks didn't face Wood in that series. They didn't face Kershaw in that series. They didn't face Darvish in that series. Pitchers are likely to have to face if they met the Dodgers in a playoff series. So I think that they certainly have a little bit of confidence in playing the Dodgers, but certainly the Dodgers are the team to beat given the tremendous success they've had this year and the depth that they have.
Steve, Patrick Connor here. Great to have you on the show. And every Sunday, home Sunday, Marty talks to Ron Wotus, who's in charge of the alignment of the outfielders and the fielders in general with the Giants. And I caught wind that your guy for Arizona, Dave McKay, has the same responsibility for the Diamondbacks. And they were employing a super shift last night. Could you break that down a little bit?
Yeah, never seen something like this before, Patrick. That's a great point by you. DJ LeMahieu, his spray chart indicates that if he's going to hit the ball, he's going to hit it the opposite way. He's going to hit it to right field, right center. So the Diamondbacks did something, again, that I've never seen. They moved their left fielder all the way over to dead center field almost.
Wow.
And then A.J. Pollock, the center fielder, was playing almost in right field, and they had J.D. Martinez just about on the right field line down there. So we're not talking about bases empty. There were men on base for a couple of his at-bats as well, and they still did the same alignment. And had LeMahieu hit a ball to left field, I mean, he could have run forever.
Inside the park, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was a really kind of a daring strategy, but each time he kept hitting the ball either right into the shift or he got a base hit because he somehow found a gap in that coverage there in right field and grounded one right down the right field line past Paul Goldschmidt. So that was something I've never seen before. It'd be interesting to see if they do it again tonight. Taijuan Walker, now I'm not in Denver, but I looked at some of the post game comments. And Taijuan Walker was not even aware that they were going to do that. And he's actually said he was glad that he didn't realize it because that might have put a little bit more pressure on him when he's pitching. You have to wonder what goes through DJ LeMahieu's head when he sees that and knows that all he has to do is pull the ball and he could run forever. So Walker said he didn't discover it until there was a ball hit to right field and he saw A.J. Pollock catch it. And was wondering why Pollock was all the way over there in right field.
You know, this is the next step in shifting. Joe Maddon has gone to the 4 outfielders now, and not in like a game-threatening situation. he'll put four outfielders out there and take away, you know, the gaps and all that. So I see this this is another step, and I think the Diamondbacks are to be commended for trying it.
Well, it's going to be interesting, Sam. I know the teams do it against DJ LeMahieu, and it's going to be interesting to see when DJ finally does pull the ball, what happens if teams continue to do that. So, you know, part of it is it could be, you know, trying to get into his head a little bit, too, and make him pull the ball instead of being able to focus on just doing what he normally does.
Wow. Steve Gilbert with us, MLB.com, covers the Diamondbacks. That's Pat, good question.
Yeah,
very good question. Fernando Rodney is still in there as a closer. I love Godley and Archie Bradley. Is very good as well. Has the team caught on down in Arizona? And I know there's issues about the stadium and it's hot down there and people would rather stay home and watch the game on TV. But is there a buzz around this ball club? Because you guys have been there before.
Well, I think there's a bit of a buzz about, around it, but the attendance during the Dodgers series was not great. You know, low 20s. Mid-20s, I think, for one of the games, 19,000 for one of the games. So, you know, they're doing what they can now to try to drum up some interest. They had really good attendance in, I believe it was July and August or June and July when they did their summer pack where it was like 50 games and the 25 games, I'm sorry, for $50 you could buy just for those 2 months. And so now they're going to do something somewhat similar for the upcoming Rockies series here in town to try to get more people out to the ballpark. But I think there's a buzz. I just don't think it's translated attendance-wise just as of yet.
Well, we're going to see you up here in a couple of weeks, so it's going to be interesting to see what's going on there. But you think the Rockies will hang on? And look, we saw you've seen the Brewers. We've seen the Brewers here. The Cardinals are here now. And those are teams with momentum. Colorado going the other way. And it's almost like, you know, in baseball, it's painful to watch it. How do you see this thing finishing up?
Yeah, you know, the Rockies are one of those teams, Marty, that I think it's hard to, they're hard to read. I think they could just as soon, it wouldn't surprise me if they won their next eight straight. It wouldn't surprise me if they lost their next eight straight. They just seem to be a very streaky team. They've got a lot of young pitchers in that rotation. But certainly they're not trending in the right direction right now, and it's a bad time for them because they have all these games against the Diamondbacks. When they could actually be making up ground instead of losing ground. But they have now have to worry about the Brewers, which are, I think they're a game and a half back, if I'm not mistaken,
right,
in that wild card chase. So they got to figure it out and get it put together. They just they didn't seem to be hitting the ball last night and left a lot of guys on base and didn't come through with guys in scoring position. And that's something you're not used to seeing from a Rockies team.
No, especially there. Steve Gilbert, one last thought for you. Goldschmidt, is he? I think the answer is yes, but how solidly is he in this MVP race?
Solid.
Well, I think he's got to be pretty solidly in this MVP race. And it's not just what he does at the plate. I mean, you look at his numbers at the offensively, and they're outstanding. But, you know, he also contributes with his defense. He's a gold glove defender. And his base running. You look at the, you know, not just the bases that he steals, but the fact that he runs the bases extremely well, first to third, you know, scoring from second. He just does a really good job. He's a complete ball player. And certainly has to be right up at the top of the consideration when it comes to the MVP award.
Yeah, in fact, Carmen Q, who's one of our great aides out here, we were talking about putting together the MVP list for both leagues. And Charlie Blackman, he's a guy that's kind of sneaking in there, or maybe not so sneaky being in Colorado. But as a leadoff hitter, he's got 13 bags stolen. Meanwhile, Goldschmidt, the cleanup guy, 17. So I think Giancarlo Stanton, as it stands now with 51 bombs, that's the most sexy stat. He probably is a front runner, but I would not sleep on Charlie Blackman and Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I think one of the things you run into, and you always do with Rockies candidates, is what are voters going to do about the Coors Field effect?
I know.
You know, and the same thing, you know, with a Nolan Arenado, who should, you know, who might be up there as well, talking about Gold Glove caliber defense. But, you know, yeah, certainly Giancarlo Stanton with the 51 homers so far, that is very impressive. It's going to be interesting to see how that race shakes itself out.
Steve, when you look at the San Francisco Giants, what do you think?
I just am surprised at you know, how poor they've been this year. You know, you just always figure that the Giants are going to find a way. And if it's not find a way to a division title, even the playoffs, you just think that they're they're still going to find a way to be competitive. Mm-hmm. It's shocking to see the way they've kind of fallen off this year. I know they've had some injuries and some guys haven't come through for them, but I just think we've grown so used to seeing the Giants be so good for so long that it's really a surprise.
Yeah,
boy, it is. From day one, the Melanson blowing the save right
down
in front
Arizona.
Of you in
yeah.
Arizona. It yeah. just has gone downhill from there. It's hard to believe. Hey, thanks.
I mean, I can't remember. When was the last time you guys had a season like that? I can't remember. Was it 06?
07, maybe?
Yeah, it's in the middle of the O's, but you got to go back to 85 for something as dramatic as this, the number of losses. They may lose 100. You know,
it's just so hard for me to believe that happens in San Francisco with that organization.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll have to see.
25 you know. Games to go. They've got 53 wins. Well,
they
25
got
to go.
10 wins. 10. What,
9
10,
wins.
9 will get to 62. That's right.
Yeah, they get 100 losses, so they got to get. You're right. 10 wins.
10 wins. Not simple.
Wow.
All right, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, Steve.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks,
it's a
Steve.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Absolutely a pleasure. That's Steve Gilbert, MLB.com.
You know, the Diamondbacks have a couple of guys that are pretty damn good that cover that ball club with Nick Vaccaro and Steve.
Nick?
Yeah, they do a good job.
Absolutely terrific.